Good afternoon, everybody. Today is our September 12th, 2021 MPC meeting, and we'll start. Ask everybody, please stand for an invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance. Heavenly Father, we ask you for your blessings today. Help this commission to make the right decisions for the betterment of our community of Savannah, City of Savannah and Chatham County. Ask you to please bless our armed forces of the United States, the men and women serving our country, abroad and here in America. Ask you to please watch over the families of our Savannah citizens who have lost their life to COVID, and that everybody have a healthy life and prosper. In God's name we pray, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I want to thank everybody here in attendance today. This is a great turnout for commissioners, and I thank you all for being here. And I want to welcome, for the first time in appearance here, our city manager, Mr. Jay Melder. Thank you for being here, sir. And in the audience, as well as Mr. Nick Palumbo, city council member, who's here today. All right. This is how we handle our meetings for the Metropolitan Planning Commission. For staff and petitioners and members of the public who are participating today, the agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterward, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, use the raise your hand feature on your computer screen, please. The raise your hand feature. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and the staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature on your computer during the hearing of that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you're not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature on the computer, and you'll have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. Okay, I ask all phone callers to please mute your phone until you're called on to be spoken to, okay? And also, board members, turn your mics on to speak into the mic when you have a question to ask or a statement. All right. All right. So we'll have approval of the agenda. I need a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second. Anybody?
Second. Second.
All right. We'll just do a verbal vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone against? Okay. We go to notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. November 2nd, 2021 will be the regular MPC meeting at 1:30 here at the Planning Commission. Today, October 12th, we had a personnel committee meeting, executive session. That went fine. Now, we have the honor of swearing in our new officers. 21-22, and we have the honor of having the Honorable Judge Timothy Walmsley here. And sir, if you would come forward, and we'll ask you to take over. Afternoon, Judge.
All right, can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. I've done this a number of times, and I always enjoy coming over to the MPC and seeing you all for these swearing in. Been on the bench 10 years now. Before I came onto the bench, used to appear over here on a regular basis with maybe not so many familiar faces, but this is it's an important board. I think it's a privilege to be able to swear all of you in as officers. As to the oath itself, you know, a lot of times we sort of take an oath for granted. Let me just throw this out there. An oath is an affirmation, or for some, a reaffirmation of your service here. What you're doing here is a great public service, and you're doing this on behalf of the community. And really, the oath is just a reminder that you're doing that for the individuals that live here and rely upon your expertise. So with that, if I could get everybody just to raise their right hand.
Want us to stand, sir?
Yeah, if you could stand, I'm sorry, and raise your right hand.
Everybody, and you're all coming in as commissioners, all commissioners and officers.
All right. Mm-hmm. And what we'll do is
just the officers?
This is just the officers. I'm sorry. Let's see. Upon the election, new officers shall be at the first regular meeting and be administered the following oath. So be new officers. And all we do at the end, if you do affirm, just say, I do. Do you solemnly swear that you hold no position of public trust or private interest, which places you in a position of conflict of purpose with the Charter of the Metropolitan Planning Commission, and that in accordance with the constitutions of the United States and the state of Georgia, the laws of this state and all applicable local ordinances, you will faithfully discharge your duties as officers of said commission, deciding each matter that shall come before the commission on its merits alone, without fear or favor with regard to any affected parties or agencies?
I do.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Again, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time off to come here. Okay. We're going to go through the items requested to be removed from the final agenda. I'm going to read each one, and we'll vote on all at one time instead of going through each one individually. Item number 5 is zoning map amendment, Sweetwater Station, rezoned from RA to RSF4. Item number 6, rezoning map amendment, 5313 Skidaway, rezoned from RSF10 to O1. Item 7, rezoning map amendment, 700 Christopher Drive, rezoned from OIE to RMF 240. Item number 8, special use permit, 2110 Montgomery Street, Suite A, package alcohol sales. And item number 9, minor subdivision variance request on 8624 Old Montgomery Road, easement width. Is there anybody in this audience on any one of these items? If so, this has been removed from the agenda today, if you're here. Okay, we'll take a vote. I need a motion.
Motion to remove items 5 through 9.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. We'll do a verbal vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone against? Thank you. Now we go to the consent agenda. Approval of the September 21st, 2021 briefing and regular meeting minutes. Need a motion?
So moved. Move to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Approve the item number 11, approve the deposit account resolution authorization for business entities to update the check signers for the MPC bank account. And that's resolution to authorize access to treasury services, and 2021 resolution for treasury account access to add to West. Need a motion?
So moved.
All in favor? Item 12, authorize executive director to execute and file fiscal year 2023 FTA transit planning grant. Fiscal year 23, section 5303, MPC board memo, and fiscal year 23, section 5303, MPC authorizing resolution. Need a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. There's no old business, so now we're going to go into regular business. Item number 13, special use permit, 2301 Montgomery Street, vehicle sales, rental, and leasing. The floor is yours.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Melissa Lito, planning staff. Let me open up this item. The petitioner is requesting approval of a special use pursuant to section 3.10 of the Savannah Zoning Ordinance to establish a vehicle sale, rentals, and leasing use at 2301 Montgomery Street. I must mention, as I did in the pre-meeting, that this item has received one letter of opposition from a resident that received a notice for the special use request. The letter mentions a history of noise disturbances with loud music several nights a week. The appearance of the existing structures is close to blight and is concerned the cars will overflow onto on-street parking spaces. The subject property is located on the corner of Montgomery and West 39th Street in the Thomas Square Historic Neighborhood. The parcel is 0.08 acres or 3,484.8 square feet and includes the following structures. A one-story structure with an attached carport and a detached carport and a shed. The remaining parcel is surfaced in concrete. The subject property is located across the street from residential properties on Montgomery Street. And the parcel abuts an abandoned one-story residential structure. And is located across the street on West 39th Street from Wells Park. The property includes approximately 8 off-street parking spaces, which can be accessed from Montgomery Street. Based on the 1953 and 1966 Sanborn maps, the subject property was a residential parcel with a dwelling unit in 1953 and transitioned to a used auto sales establishment by 1966. It was most recently a car washing establishment. Staff reviewed the criteria for special use permits under section 3.10.8. Staff has several concerns. Open up the application. The size of the parcel and the number of vehicles being proposed. The proposed plans are unclear as to whether the parcel would provide enough space for the proposed special use. Again, the existing structures, remaining parcel, and the proposed plans submitted do not appear to be able to accommodate the proposed use. The petitioner states on this page that there used to be a car lot at this location 20 years ago. However, the historic development pattern included a residence on this lot. A residential use is more adequately accommodated on a lot of this size, which is 30 feet wide by 117 feet long. Staff finds that the subject site cannot support the proposed use based upon the criteria for a special use permit. Staff recommends denial of the request to establish a vehicle sale, rentals, and leasing establishment at 2301 Montgomery Street. Thank you. I am here for any questions, and the petitioner, Wesley Dixon, as well as his representative, is here as well. Thank you.
I'm going to ask the petitioner at this time, if you'd like to do so, to come forward. If you'd like to, please present your name to us and anything you'd like to share. You have a 20-minute window if you need that much time, but.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. My name is Omer Benson. I'm the manager who wanted, me and my business partner want to turn into a car lot. It was a car lot for 20 years. So whoever had it turned into a car wash. And that's where all the music and all the problems came in at. But we don't want no car wash. We want to turn it back into a car lot. That's it.
Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner?
Sir, do you plan on also doing repairs?
No, sir.
Ms. Jarrett?
Can you tell me how many cars you think you're going to accommodate there?
8 to 10 cars.
The building, and do you have a drive aisle with 10 cars there?
Say it again?
Well, you have a drive aisle for people to come in, and I mean a driveway to get the cars in and out?
Yes, like the previous car, like K&L got down the street. People can't drive, or they park on Montgomery Street at the end of K&L.
Thank you.
What are your hours of operation? What would that be? And how many days a week?
10 to 4, Monday through Friday.
Any other questions?
Yes, Chairman. Do you have any plans to improve the structures on parcel? What are those plans?
We're talking to the landlord right now. He said he's going to, you know, like paint the building, put flower setting, and new structure.
But the improvements will stay the same size?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is there any fellow commissioner on the computer? Any other fellow commissioners? Mr. Wayne Noah?
This question is for staff probably. Is there a way that the number of cars can be limited once, should this pass, I mean, or is it an open door?
Mr. Noah, when this goes to the city council, should they approve the request, since this is a special use, they can apply conditions related to number of cars or hours of operation or anything of that nature.
Mr. Stevens, we had a question
for the petitioner. So you said this is just sales, or is it going to, or I mean, based off of what is showing on our agenda, it's saying sales, rental, and leasing.
It's going to be just sales.
It's just sales.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yes, sir.
Just to clarify, the reason the wording is that way in the staff report is because the use in the zoning ordinance is vehicle sales, rental, and leasing.
All right, thank you.
This is Lorraine Bowles. I'm sorry, Mr. Lloyd. Did you say that the city council can or cannot apply special conditions?
They can apply special conditions.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
If it's appropriate, I'd like to make a motion to continue to allow staff to continue the work with the petitioner.
Well, we will get to that, sir. Okay. I do want to see if the commissioners are finished with any questions. I want to open it to the public.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, I'll have any more questions? Okay, I'm open it to the public. Is anybody here in the audience? Is anybody out in the computer world? Please raise your hand on your computer if you have a question for the petitioner. There's nobody. Now open it up for discussions. Any more discussion amongst us? Yes, sir, Dr. Medlick.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. I guess this question is for Mr. Lotson. When the petitioner mentioned some improvements to the building on site, will there be any implications or processes that will have to be approved by the historic district
review board? That would be the case if any changes were proposed for the building. It would have to go through review for those changes. Suspect the building is not a contributing structure, but any changes to the site, depending on the nature of those changes, would either have to go through that process or the site development process.
So basically, it's possible that it could be approved here, but then the improvements overall that would impact the community could then get stopped at the historic review board, and then we would probably be in a stalemate in regards to the how it could positively impact the
neighborhood. That really would just depend on the nature of the applicant's proposal in terms of changes to any structures on that site.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Mr. Melder, then I will entertain your motion that you would like to repeat that.
Thank you, Chairman. Make a motion to continue this until October 26th so that staff can work with the petitioner, work out some of the special use conditions that might come before City Council at a later date to see if we can't make this a more acceptable proposal.
Second.
Second.
Question, what is October 26th?
Is that the next meeting date is what I understand?
November 2nd. I think the next November meeting is November 2nd.
November
2nd, please. Thank you for that correction.
Make sure that's noted, the date for November. There's a motion and a second. I'll do a call count vote. Mr. Rule Joyner?
Aye.
Mr. Woodworthy? Dr. Watkins?
Aye.
Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Aye.
Mr. Joseph Urban?
Yes.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Ms. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Shula Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Lee Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Laureen Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Jay Melder?
Yes.
And myself, Joe Welch, yes. Motion has it to move this to the next meeting, November, after city reviews it with you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. We go to the next item, 14, zoning map amendment. 500 Grove Point Road, rezoned from RSF6 to RSF5.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item is a request to rezone 500 Grove Point Road, which is in the Sweetwater Station subdivision. The petitioner is requesting to rezone the property from the current RSF6 zoning classification, which is residential single family, to RSF5, also single family. The difference in these two zoning districts relate to the development standards. In the current zoning, or under the current zoning, the minimum lot area for single family residential is 6,000 square feet. The minimum lot width is 60 feet. Under the proposed RSF5 zoning district, the minimum lot area is 5,000 square feet, with a minimum lot width of 50 feet. The Sweetwater Station subdivision is a single family detached residential subdivision. It's being built out in phases consistent with the master plan that was originally approved in 2005. The majority of the master planned area is in an RSF6 zoning classification, and there is a portion of the master planned area that's in an RSF5 zoning classification. That portion includes 90 single family lots. This zoning map shows the Sweetwater Station master planned area. You can see this area identified here as the 90 lots that are in RSF5. And for the record, every lot within this area is not 50 feet, but many of them are. These designations were established with the new zoning ordinance. So the designations that you see here today were placed to ensure that the majority of the lots within in each area were conforming in nature. So most of the lots within this area are right at 50 feet in width and 5,000 square feet. There's a few exceptions for corner lots and one or two larger lots within the master planned area. The portion of the subject property that is being requested to be rezoned is the hatch portion shown on this tax map. This portion abuts a existing lake and other single family residential lots. This is an aerial map. As you can see, the property is undeveloped. Many of the lots immediately to the east are in the process of being developed. This is a zoning map that shows this portion as RSF6. The existing development pattern is similar to many Southside Savannah subdivisions, with properties ranging between 5,000 and 10,000 square feet in size. It's currently designed, staff believes that the proposed new phase is similar to existing built out phases within the subdivision. At the time this master planned area began to be developed in the mid 2000s, larger lots were being created, which were desirable from a real estate standpoint during that time. Per discussions, at least with this applicant and frankly, many home builders over the last few years, they are desirous, as the real estate markets have changed, and having the ability to establish smaller lots for those buyers who fall into those categories. Because there is existing examples of RSF5 which have been successful within the Sweetwater Station subdivision, staff finds that based on the location of this phase and the lack of impact on adjacent properties from a development pattern standpoint, we're recommending approval to rezone this section of Sweetwater Station from RSF6 to RSF5. And Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Wayne Noah.
Can you go to the zoning map and scroll down? The PDRSM, can you explain that? And is the owner of that property the same as the petitioner?
The owner, per the tax assessor's records, are not the same owner.
And what is PDRSM?
PDRSM is a zoning designation for surface mining. So basically, removing dirt for the purpose of construction.
I kind of got a little ahead of myself. I always like to ask the petitioner to come up first. That way they're both at the podium. We can ask questions.
The petitioner is Neil McKenzie.
Yes, sir. Please state your name for the record. And you have 20 minutes if it takes that long, but that's what you're allotted.
Thank you. My name is Neil McKenzie, here on behalf of the property owner. Like Marcus said, I appreciate his input. I don't have much else to add. We're just respectfully requesting board, approve the RSF6 to RSF5. This map amendment, mainly the purpose of it is for home, for the pricing of the homes. We're trying to keep these in line with the rest of the market, and these smaller lots will make that, possible. So with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Ms. Jarrett.
I'm curious as to what you're going to do with the leftover property that you have. If you reduce the lot size by 1,000 square feet each and you keep the same density, what are you going to do with the rest of the?
Well, the cap density out here is 445 on this master plan. So when we add, if this is approved, this map amendment is approved, it'll bring this last phase to 87 additional lots. That'll bring the total count of lots out here to 424, which is underneath the max density that's currently approved out here.
All right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other commissioners here? Anybody in the computer world, commissioner, wish to ask a question? Not? Then I'm going to ask if there's anybody in the public. Please raise your hand on the computer. And is there anybody here in the audience that doesn't appear to be on this subject? Nobody in the computer world. Okay. Any further discussion? Then I'll look for a motion.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Second. Okay, we'll do a call vote. Mr. Jay Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Rule Joyner?
Aye.
Mr. Tom Woodworthy? Dr. Maylett Watkins?
Aye.
Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Ms. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Eula Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Wayne Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Lee Smith?
Yeah.
Ms. Laureen Bowles?
Yes.
And Joe Welch, yes. Motion passes. Thank you, sir, for being here. And we're going to go to the final item, number 15, zoning map amendment, Ogeechee Road multifamily. Rezone request from PUD BC to R325.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The request before you at this time is related to a portion of a 30-acre site at Ogeechee Road and Chatham Parkway. The proposed rezoning is from the current PUD BC plan urban development, plan unit development community business designation to R325, which is a multifamily designation in the unincorporated area with a maximum of 25 units per net acre. The petitioner is proposing to rezone this portion, and this is a vicinity map of the subject property. This is Ogeechee Road. Property is immediately west of Chatham Parkway and also abuts a rail line on the south side. This is a tax map that shows the entire tract, which is a little over 30 acres in size. The portion to be rezoned, again, is approximately 20 acres. And this is a zoning map showing the current zoning of the subject property. Most of the property with frontage along Ogeechee Road and Chatham Parkway is zoned commercial and is developed that way. Adjacent properties include Redgate Farms, which is south of the property across the railroad track, and undeveloped land zoned residential agricultural immediately to the west. This is an aerial map of the property. As you can see, it is a vacant piece of property and it's bisected by an existing county canal. One thing that for those, you know, from both from the area and familiar with this area, there's been a lot of development out here over the last 20 years. This is an aerial photograph from 2005. Our subject property is just a little south of this photograph, but this is the intersection of Ogeechee Road and Chatham Parkway in 2005. This is that intersection now, essentially. And as you can see, there's been a significant amount of development in this area, both commercial, multifamily, services. So as the county has grown, certainly there's been a lot more interest in the development community and being in this part of town. In terms of the subject property, which is roughly highlighted here, it is behind commercial development that's along Ogeechee Road and some along Chatham Parkway. There are a number of, two primary access points to this property. This is an entrance onto Ogeechee Road. This is a right-in, right-out on Chatham Parkway, where this subject property is proposed to have access. There is an existing access agreement between the developer of the commercial at this intersection and the owner of the subject property for the multifamily. In terms of the proposed zoning, under the current zoning, there are a number of significant developments that could take place on a 20 or 30 acre parcel from a commercial standpoint. The existing PUDBC would allow shopping centers, grocery stores, hotels, any manner of sort of retail, lodging, commercial uses at that location could be permitted under the current zoning. The proposed zoning of R325, as I mentioned, is a multifamily zoning. In terms of the site of that 20 acres, approximately 15 of it is upland. And when you back out the land for development, and again, we haven't seen a development plan at this stage, but we believe you'd be looking at 12 or 13 acres essentially of net area from a building standpoint. Based on the review criteria, the proposed use of the subject property, we do believe that the multifamily zoning classification is an appropriate classification here. We also find that, obviously, through the site plan process, a number of questions will have to be answered from the standpoint of building location and parking location. Any applicant related to, you know, that's involved in that development plan will have to deal with things like stormwater management, particularly in this area. But from a zoning standpoint, we feel it's an appropriate location for multifamily development. They do have access to major arterial roadways and presumably can accommodate the number of trips that would be created by a use like this, which at some point will likely have to be determined through a traffic study. But from a zoning standpoint, staff does find that the use, the district rather, is an appropriate district for this location. We are recommending approval with the condition that any development of the subject property shall include access to both Chatham Parkway and Ogeechee Road. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions. The petitioner, Mr. John Rowers, is also present today to answer questions.
Mr. Rowers, you want to come forward? State your name for the record, sir. You have 20 minutes if need be.
I'm John Rowers, and I'm a commercial real estate broker, and I represent the existing owner right now, which is Enterprise Bank of South Carolina. The property is under contract to a development group, and the proposal to rezone most of the property for multifamily really only makes sense because the property doesn't have good exposure for commercial use. The idea we were going to keep the upper or the northern 10 acres to create a buffer from the commercial use to the multifamily is not because there is a paint and body shop on the north side of this property. So all in all, it I mean, as Mr. Lawson said, the developable, after you take out the wetlands and the developable acres are around 12 acres. And so the sensitivity here to the number of units in there because of traffic and things like that, we will address. That's about it. I'll take any questions.
Any questions from commissioners for staff and petitioner? Mr. Wayne Noah?
For staff, the recommendation is that, and I want to make sure in the wording, could you reread that?
Yes, our recommendation is for approval of the zoning with the condition that any development of the property have access to both Chatham Parkway and Ogeechee Road.
Okay. Access. I would like to specify once it gets to that point that we use the word existing access and not create another access point to Chatham Parkway.
And that certainly can be done in the making of a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Lee Smith. I've got one of our Marcus engineers, Jefferson Kirkland, online with County Engineering. County does have a concern about the existing use of Chatham Parkway. It's in a curve. There's a bridge situation, and I would like, if you would, allow our staff to voice the county's concern before any action is taken.
Will do, sir. Granted.
Jefferson, are you on?
Yes, I'm here. My name is Jefferson Kirkland. I work for Chatham County Department of Engineering, and I am here at the request of the county engineer to raise a concern that Mr. Smith just stated. The Chatham Parkway access, due to its position close to that heavily traveled intersection, but more importantly on the slope of the approach to the overpass over the railroad, creates a concern for Chatham County Department of Engineering, particularly for like large commercial vehicles that by their nature can't accelerate rapidly up that slope when they enter traffic. So that creates a backup that could be potentially dangerous in that intersection and for motorists traveling south on Chatham Parkway through that intersection. So that's a concern that we would like raised. And it may be necessary to limit the types of vehicles, and I don't know how you would even begin to do that, but limit the types of vehicles that are allowed to make that right turn onto that sloping approach. And also in the staff report, it mentioned that a drainage project was undertaken by the county to relieve a drainage issue in the area. That is not entirely true. The Chatham County did do some work in the Redgate Farms area, but it does not address a bigger problem, which is where the county canal goes under the railroad track. And let me get my bearings here, which would be to the, oh gosh, it would be, to the southwest of this area. There's a culvert there that's undersized that causes some severe backing of water, and the county has not been able to conduct a repair or a rehabilitation in this area due to complications with the railroad. So while there were drainage projects conducted in this area, they have not addressed sufficiently the major concern that has been ongoing in this area for many years. And we just wanted to make sure that was heard by the board prior to any action. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Anybody have any questions for Mr. Kirkland?
Karen Jarrett here. So does the drainage problem that you're describing back water up on this property or an adjacent property, or does it back water up at all?
The answer is yes, it backs water up on this property. It could potentially impact other properties.
A further development of this property would just exacerbate that problem.
It could, you know, I mean, obviously whatever happens here would have to meet current stormwater standards, but you know, there is a known issue there. And you know, we just didn't want the staff report to mislead people into thinking that the historical problem there was, you know, totally resolved.
It is not in a floodplain though, correct?
That I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm trying to think if there was one more thing I wanted to add. I can't remember. I'm sorry. Any other questions?
Any other questions?
I have one. Instead of thinking about this having a flooding issue, couldn't it also be the exact opposite, to where if we do approve, they got to make sure that that it'll perk and that they'll do the proper work to get that done, whether it's put in a retention pond or whatever, to make this land to where you can develop it and get taxes from it. Is that correct?
Well, I think one concern is there's talk that this might annex into the city, and the drainage system is largely owned and operated by the county in this area. And so once a property gets annexed, the county is limited on its ability to make comments and recommendations to the design. So again, we just wanted this concern raised and talked about before any action was taken. But yeah, any development here would have to undergo, you know, appropriate stormwater design.
Would it be helpful for you to meet with the developer and see if you could work out some of these issues?
It's a great idea.
I'm sorry?
That's a great idea. They need to.
Maybe we could continue. Yeah.
Continue to the next regular meeting if you could.
Yes, sir.
We spent the last 2 years with the county engineer's office with Mr. Bill Nicholson, with the county's help, doing a $400,000 drainage project there. The canal does not flood the way it used to, and a lot of it had to do with not only the property, the water there, but upstream water also. If you go out there today, the canal is down 4 or 5 feet from where it used to be. And I agree that the end of the canal goes underneath the railroad track, which is where actually you would put a retention pond to hold the water, because that entire canal, which is a mainline canal for the county, which has been there well over 100 years, goes underneath the railroad track. But trying to get CSX to put a new pipe under the railroad track, it just hasn't gone anywhere. The drainage project that the county did here was not only long overdue as far as the drainage from Chatham Parkway, but has really transformed the property.
Do you know when the last request was to CSX?
County made it. I don't know.
Do you have that information, Mr. Kirkland?
I do not. I apologize.
Is this something that you can meet with the developer and have some kind of a review back to us for next meeting, November 2nd?
I believe so. Our department, you know, there's a couple of different, we have our development group and our drainage group that would need, you know, that all have a piece of this puzzle, but that shouldn't be an issue.
Does it include transportation as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That generally gets pulled in under the development side anyway, so.
And one of my major concerns is the traffic, taking the trees out, and you're right, turning onto Chatham Parkway.
Right.
Somebody's bound to have an accident. There's going to be a slow climb uphill, and you can't come up further with an entry into Chatham Parkway because the hill goes higher and higher. So it's hard to, you have to build a bridge almost. So.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
If there's any way that we can get some sort of some data to this, you know, I don't want to come from a culture of no on it. If that's somebody's property, if it's deemed unsafe, then that's a difference. But hey guys, it's on a curve and it's on a slope. I'm not sure, it could be dangerous. This is somebody's property. So if we could get that information, that would be helpful. And I think that you should do that.
Now,
does that sound good?
Yeah, it does. We're not saying this isn't to be developed. We just have to get a couple things out of the way. Is there any other questions for commissioners? Yes, sir, Dr. Malik.
Well, sure. Yes, sir. As is common with rezoning petitions, you know, we find ourselves becoming more aware of development issues, you know, that probably exist, haven't been determined to what degree they exist yet. We understand that, you know, stormwater obviously in every area is an important function of development, and that will have to be addressed, I think, to Commissioner Joyner's point. When this property is developed, whoever does it, whether it be under the current zoning, new zoning, they'll have to meet the standards that are required for their property. But does that mean or have any implications on adjacent properties? Those kinds of things are determined through that process, in this case with the Stormwater Engineering Department. As it relates to the access point that was under discussion here, Chatham Parkway, from the property. This is a existing right-of-way currently being used for access onto Chatham Parkway. The location of it from a traffic engineering standpoint, and I'm not a traffic engineer, but probably not ideal, but it does exist and people are using it now. But how can you mitigate the problems that Mr. Kirkland talked about? All these things are part of a really big process before you get a building on this property, for sure. But the better we can understand what the problems are and possibly do some things early to help those situations, you know, we support that, obviously. It is an issue, or I could see it being an issue, a truck turning on the Chatham Parkway in that location, trying to make it up that grade and traffic coming, you know, behind it. Yeah, that's an issue. There might have been, this is probably a problem that should have been dealt with in a different way back when this road was built, but it's here now. And so we have to figure out a way to deal with it. But certainly, our experience is that working with the applicants on these issues in the front of the problem is always good. We understand that strictly from a zoning standpoint, this is probably not that difficult of a decision, in my opinion, but those other issues are legitimate issues.
Thank you, sir. And I ask you to please turn your mic on if you have a question for staff petition. Yes, sir. Nope. Okay. Mr. Woodwoody, put your mic on, please.
The question is about zoning, correct? That's the full That's question. Correct. It's about zoning. It's not about all of these other issues surrounding it. So is that, you know, I guess these other issues surrounding it could be dealt moving forward with.
This is true. Any other? Yes, sir.
And to that point, it seems as if we would make possibly go ahead and make a ruling on this and then address all the other concerns in the general development plan review.
Well, that's certainly in the board's purview. And just to remind the board members, if you do take action today, that action is a recommendation, in this case, to the county commission. And we will forward all this information to them. And from that point on, they'll, you know, be handling it, so to speak.
Is the engineer still on the line?
Mr. Kirkland, are you still on?
Yes, I'm here.
So is the residential use a more intense or less intense use than the commercial use that's already zoned for?
I believe it's more intense, but Marcus or Mr. Lotson, you may need to correct me on that.
Well, that's kind of a hard question to answer without a development plan, because you can say residential use, but it's really about, you know, for the questions that we have, well, let me back up. Two things. One is you could potentially have a very intense commercial use here that would generate a certain number of trips based on the uses that are here. And if you got six restaurants, maybe that causes a lot of traffic. If you've got 250 dwelling units, that will also cause some traffic. So it really just, it's very dependent on how the property gets developed.
As far as the drainage goes, is the commercial uses, are they required to provide retention to the same level that?
Absolutely, yes. Is? Yes. Okay.
Ms. Epstein, do you have a question?
Yes, I was, Mr. Dotson is recommending some, that in addition to approving the zoning, but it would be with the stipulation about this access points. So. Could we approve it without that stipulation?
You could, yes.
Mr. Woodwoody?
The zoning approval is one step. The next step would be a master plan, which involves traffic and drainage and engineering and all that other stuff. And back to my original point, this is about zoning. Mm-hmm. So, know, everything that happens after the zoning, we can't really do anything without the zoning. There's no point moving forward. So it seems to me to move to the next step, the next question, we got to get to the zoning first.
And I think it's fair to say that whether the property is rezoned or not, any applicant that brings a development plan for this property would go through those processes that Mr. Wildwoody is talking about. I think to be fair to the county, One thing that they expressed, and it is a concern, is that if this property is developed or there's plans to develop the property, it gets annexed into the city of Savannah, and then those reviews and those decisions in terms of how things are developed, approved, be handled by city staff. And then the question becomes, well, are the county issues that they raised going to be dealt with?
This is an important issue that's existing for quite a while. And if anybody knows how the railroad works, it takes a long time.
They don't,
but it takes a long time.
And they're being held hostage.
Hold on, please. Yes, Wayne Noah.
I believe the county manager, just as our city manager represents council, I believe that the county manager represents his board. And was there a request from the county manager for this to be delayed, or are you okay with it moving to the next step?
No, I think it needs to be delayed. I don't see the problem of delaying for until the next regular meeting. We're having this issue, and this is nothing to the city manager, you know, no being critical, but annexations are occurring countywide, traffic and water being dumped in our system, and we then become responsible in the unincorporated area for these things. This property can be developed. I don't know what it's going to be, but I think it's negligent on our part to kick the can down the road without at least a two-way discussion between county engineering, NPC staff, and the developer. I won't feel comfortable going to my board with this.
Chairman, with that being said, I'd like to... We're
not finished with questions. Then you make a motion. We still have an audience out there. Okay. Is there any other further questions with commissioners? Any commissioner on the computer? We have anybody from the public? I have a Jay Andrews. That's on the computer. And sir, please name for the record.
Yes, good afternoon, MPC board and ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jay Andrews, and I'm the developer and the owner of the Sherwin-Williams and Pool Equipment Supply building, and also the Dunkin' Donuts and Firehouse building, all of which are adjacent to the petitioner. As Mr. Lotson mentioned previously, I'm providing the legal road access points for the petitioner, and I wanted to let everyone know that I completely support the requested zoning. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Any further questions? Is anybody else out there?
There was a mention earlier about the county losing control. Oh, sorry.
You're not able to speak again on this. Sorry. No more questions. With that, I'm going to ask someone to make a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we postpone this till the next meeting on November 2nd in order to give the petitioner, staff, and county engineering time to further discuss.
Second.
We'll go to a vote. Mr. Jay Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Roel Joyner?
Aye.
Mr. Tom Woodwardy?
Aye.
Dr. Malik Watkins?
Aye.
Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Ms. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Eula Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Wayne Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Lee Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Laureen Bowles?
Yes.
And myself, Joe Welch, yes. So this will be postponed and brought up to the November 2nd meeting, sir. And please get with Mr. Kirkland of the county. Thank you. With that being said, that brings our meeting to a close. I want to welcome the new officers of the Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission and look forward to a great year and getting through it. Okay, wish you all health and happiness, and y'all have a great week. This meeting's adjourned.